You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Friendly reminder for our baseball-loving friends. We got Yankees-Mets spring training action today, 1 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. The season is right around the corner. And as we welcome you back to our number two of Get Up This Morning live at the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. Fowler is here. Oh, the big fella, Chris.
Hello.
He has made his way over from Unsportsmanlike ESPN Radio, coast to coast every weekday morning. He's going to spend a few minutes with us talking about Russell Wilson. And the big fella, Booger McFarland, is up with us as well this morning. Oh, flexing with the Marion shirt. I like it a lot. RG3 is here. Let's go. Let's talk about the first shoe dropping in the quarterback carousel for 2024. The Denver Broncos have informed Russell Wilson just 18 months after signing him to a five-year, $242 million deal that they will release him at the start of the league year next week. Denver traded five picks and three players for Russ, who was benched the final two games of the season by Sean Payton. Here's Shefty.
His mindset is, I'm ready to go win and show people that I am the type of quarterback that I know I am. Now, it's up to another team to give him that opportunity. But somebody's going to strike out on Kirk Cousins. Somebody's not going to land Justin Fields. Somebody's going to be sitting there in the end saying, why would we not take a gamble, a roll of the dice, a dart throw on a guy who cost us nothing? And because of all those elements, I believe he comes into play in more places than people think because of all the elements surrounding his particular situation.
By way of quick explanation for those of you who've not been paying close attention, what he means by that is that Denver owes him $39 million guaranteed dollars this year regardless. And so anywhere he goes and signs, they could sign him for essentially for the minimum or something close to that. And he would get the rest of the money from Denver. So he's going to have, and you were telling me he's very ready to play that game, right?
Highly motivated. He's willing to help his new team in a big way. If that means taking the minimum, then that probably has to happen. I don't know how the team's probably going to want to pay him a little bit out of respect, honestly. But I talked to somebody close to Wilson. They said not only is he highly motivated, but he's trying to go to a team that can win and has the infrastructure to win. Denver hadn't been winning before he got there. He went somewhere that knows how to get it done year after year to put himself in the best position.
All right, we have new voices here, and so let's hear from them. Chris Canty. Is Russell, give me the crystal ball. You're looking into the future. Is Russell Wilson going to wind up signing somewhere and wind up reminding the world of the player we once thought he was?
Well, I think there's a chance depending on where he ends up going. We know the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the market to try to upgrade their quarterback room. Now, I'm not going to say that they're going to get rid of Kenny Pickett, but they at least want to bring in competition. And Russell Wilson on a one-year proposition at the veteran minimum makes a whole lot of sense. Listen, for all of the other quarterbacks that are out there in the ether to be had, whether it's Kirk Cousins in free agency or Baker Mayfield or trading for Justin Fields, Russell Wilson still represents one of the best value propositions, right? You can't ignore what you're going to pay the guy. And so when you look at the quarterback that was able to have 26 passing touchdowns to 8 interceptions and top 10 in passer rating, he will provide competent quarterback play for one of those franchises that's on the quarterback carousel this offseason. So to me, Russell Wilson is more than just a guy that you want to kick the tires on. I think it's somebody that you have to take a long, hard look at.
Boog, so you and I have been doing this together a long time. I'm trying to imagine if I had told you 6-7 years ago, we're going to come to a juncture where teams would rather have Kirk Cousins at 40-something million dollars than Russell Wilson at 2. You would have laughed me out of the room. But it does feel like that's sort of the place where we have arrived. What do you think of Russell Wilson this moment in time?
Yeah, Green, I completely agree with you. I definitely think that's where we are. Listen, Russell's year one in Denver was a disaster, and we all know why. Year two, he got better. There was competent quarterback play. But I think it's very alarming and very telling that even though it was better, Sean Payton has said, I don't want him. Now, can Russell Wilson come back and play competent football and be competition for Kenny Pickett? Sure. Can he go out and play maybe to the level that he played last year? Absolutely. But this is not a slam dunk, no-brainer. Russell Wilson is going to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League for the next couple of years. I just think that that time has passed, even though he played good football last year. I don't think people want to deal with everything that comes with Russell. I don't think people want to run their offense the way Russell wants to run, which is a lot built around the improvisational play that made him so good in Seattle. So, yes, I do think he will provide competition somewhere. But for us to sit here and say that he is a slam dunk to be a starting quarterback next year, I think we would really be naive.
What do you think, RG3?
Oh, Greeny, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity here. Guys, I just want to say, like, for Russell Wilson to have a top five touchdown to interception ratio, that's more than competent quarterback play. Like, if top five isn't enough to get you to be a surefire starter in the NFL come next season, then I don't know what the hell is. The bottom line is you don't bring in Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh to compete with Kenny Pickett. Russell Wilson is a guy that you bring in and you give him the keys and tell him that he's a starter. When we talk about guys bringing offenses with them, Tom Brady, he's the GOAT, right? He brought his offense with him to Tampa. Peyton Manning had one Super Bowl. He brought his offense with him to Denver. So when you look at Russell Wilson, why is he not getting the same level of respect as a guy that is a future Hall of Famer?
Because he's not those guys.
A guy that has won a Super Bowl and been to two Super Bowls. He never got that in Denver. He definitely didn't get that from Sean Payton. And I just think that he has earned so much more respect than he has been getting, not just from the coach and Sean Payton that was there this past season, but also from us in the media. You know, the bottom line is we're looking at this from a sphere, Greeny, of they brought right. Russell Wilson in to win Super Bowls in Denver. He didn't accomplish that. That was an utter failure. But to say that he is not a starting quarterback in the NFL, I feel like I'm losing my mind, like I'm losing my senses. I watched the tape.
Well,
every single snap.
Listen,
Russell Wilson is a bona fide starter in the NFL, and we got to stop talking about him in the sense of, oh, he's just washed and he shouldn't be playing anymore.
Go ahead, Bug.
Well, first of all, RG, I don't think anybody said that he was washed. Here's what I'll say. Number one, let's not compare Russell Wilson to Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. They are in a different stratosphere than Russell Wilson is. Now, is Russell Wilson a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback based on what he did in Seattle? Absolutely. But are we saying that Russell Wilson is going to have the same success that Manning and Brady had in the second part of their career? I haven't seen it. And I hear you with the touchdown to interception ratio. But that TD to interception ratio was so good. It was so good that Sean Payton said, we will pay $90 million to get you the hell up out of here. So I don't want to hear about stats and all that stuff when it comes to Russell Wilson. Is Russell Wilson a bona fide starting quarterback to the point that Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos, they said, we will pay $90 million to get you out of here? That speaks volumes, man.
Go, Canty, jump in here.
Yeah, I don't think Russell Wilson is going to be handed the starting quarterback job. He's not going to be QB1 going into training camp. He's going to have to compete, right? And so it depends on what the options are available. But the rest of the league is saying something when they're waiting on Kirk Cousins, that domino to fall, when they're waiting on Baker Mayfield to see what happens with him, when they're waiting to see what Chicago wants from Justin Fields. I think Russell Wilson is that next quarterback from the veteran market that's in line. So I think the rest of the league is telling you where they think Russell Wilson's game is. Not to say that he can't be a good quarterback, but I think that Russell Wilson is going to have to wait until some of these other chairs get filled and then wait to see what team doesn't have a chair when the music stops. So whoever misses out on the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes, whether it's the Atlanta Falcons or the Minnesota Vikings, I think Russ could slot in that position. But ultimately, the rest of the league is waiting to see what happens to those other quarterbacks, and that speaks volumes about what stage Russell Wilson is in as his career.
I can't ignore the look on your face, RG3. Jump in.
Yeah, just quickly, Boog, first, Canty, you just talked, so I agree with you. He's not the same stage that he was coming out of Seattle. That's a bona fide fact. Boog, what I would say is comparing him to Tom Brady, you can't compare anyone to Tom Brady. The only guy that can be compared to Tom Brady right now is Patrick Mahomes, so I agree with you there. But you can't compare him to Peyton Manning, okay? And the bottom line is Peyton Manning won his last Super Bowl. Love Peyton. Phenomenal guy. Hilarious. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He won his last Super Bowl in Denver because of that defense. So when you say comparing him to a guy, Peyton left, and he didn't go tear it up and throw for 400 yards in the Super Bowl. He got led by DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller on the defensive side of the ball and basically limped his way to that second Super Bowl championship. And that's not a shot at Peyton. It's just a fact. So when you look at Russell Wilson, he can be compared to that guy. And not once at any point in his time in Denver was he treated with the same level of respect. So I don't think that you bring Russell Wilson in to be the guy that's got to compete for a starting job. If you're having to compete after playing the way that he did last year alone, that's a problem. What are we talking about? Stop looking at it from what you thought Russell Wilson was going to be and understand that what he is more than a competent quarterback. He's more than just a guy that's a marginal starter.
I guess we're going to get the chance to find out. So it's let's not get sidetracked. I love the discussion, but, I mean, Peyton Manning had two great years in Denver before they won the Super Bowl. None of that is the point. The point is, how do NFL teams currently view Russell Wilson? And that's what I'm asking you, Jeremy Fowler.
I've polled people around the league. They believe he's still an NFL starter, one of 32. Functional is the word that you use. Maybe on the highest end, still a quality starter, but not in that top 15, 17 range anymore. So he's got to, like you said, he's got to wait for some dominoes to fall. Kirk Cousins is just a higher priority at this point. He's going to have more suitors than Russell Wilson will.
It's just the most telling part about that is the contract.
Yeah.
You can get him for basically nothing, and teams are not racing to try and do it. I mean, that it tells you whatever it tells
you. No doubt. And that's the part where we have to keep it in its proper perspective when you look at the decision that the Denver Broncos made. Undoubtedly, this will go down as one of the worst trades in NFL history.
Yeah.
But when you look at what the Denver Broncos would be on the hook for if they stayed the course with Russell Wilson, you're talking about $39 million in cash this year and then another $40 million next year. They were not going to do that because of the production not matching what the cost of the player was. So it made sense for Denver to move off of this. I give them credit for having the gumption to make that kind of tough decision as an organization. But the reality is that Russell Wilson will become one of the best value propositions because of the offsets with the contracts. It's just not going to be priority one for a team this offseason. It's Russell Wilson and not Russell Wilson instead of.
I'll say this. I understand the point you're making, but I would spin it in a different direction. The Broncos organization, this is the way they handle this whole situation in total is organizational malpractice.
No doubt.
I mean, it is what they did. Put the trade up on the screen, okay? You deserve, as an organization, to stink for a long time based on deals like this.
Yeah.
What's not even on your screen for all the stuff they traded is this. Look how much money they paid him. They paid him $124 million, and they have to owe $85 million in dead cap for letting him go. It is the worst transaction. I think you can make an argument that between the trade and the contract, it is about as bad an NFL transaction as has ever been made. And I blame Russell Wilson for that only this much. I don't think he is nearly the most important, or I think the coaching hire they made the year before was obviously catastrophically bad.
Yeah.
Then they panic and they go out and get Sean Payton when it was clear he didn't want Russell Wilson, that Russell Wilson doesn't play his style of offense and all that. So rather than try and fix the problem they had made before, they just made it worse and sealed their own fate.
Yeah, but Russ wanted more say leaving out of Seattle. He got more say in year one with Denver, and it was a disaster, right?
Yeah.
The guy had his own office outside of the locker room. Where they do that at in the NFL? They don't, which is why it didn't work. So Russell Wilson deserves plenty of blame on this one. Yep. But we see this time and time again, Greeny, when organizations get in quarterback purgatory, they make desperate decisions. We saw it with the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. We saw it with Carson Wentz with the Indianapolis Colts. We saw it with your New York Jets last offseason. Russell Wilson is just the next one in a long line of those.
Can I argue with you for a second here? When do I have to let him go back? Because I can't, it's not my place to keep you here from radio because you have your own show to do. But the bottom line of, I'll take the flip side of that, is when his own office and all that kind of stuff. You know who he was when you got him. Like, if you didn't know that, I'm sitting here and I knew that, right? I've heard Richard Sherman talk. I've heard all these guys, the Legion of Boom guys, all talk about Russell. It was no secret who they were acquiring when they went out and acquired him. So don't tell me, turns out Russell Wilson is sort of a difficult personality. Everyone on planet Earth knew that. If the Broncos didn't know that and they made that trade and signed him, then shame on them.
Sure, but I can't absolve the player, the actual individual that's out there on the field either.
Exactly.
He showed up out of shape that first year. He did.
Booger, jump in here.
Hard to eat when you're full.
Booger, go.
Yeah, Greeny, listen, I think you said it best early on. You and I have been doing this for a long time, and never before have I heard you make excuses for a player like you just did with Russell Wilson.
At some
point, the player has to step on the field and play, Greeny. Like, the guy has to step on the field and play, and we can blame everybody else. We can talk about the organization knew what they were getting. We can talk about Nathaniel Hackett. But at some point, Russell Wilson step between those white lines. And his play wasn't to the level that the Broncos said and Sean Payton said that I can win with. So we're going to take on $85 million worth of dead cap. If Russell Wilson is not the majority of responsibility, then who is? He's the guy who's playing. He's the one who's throwing the football.
I feel like RG3 is going through like the eight stages of grief for whatever it is. Like, he's having every emotion as we're having this conversation. Go ahead, Rob. And someone tell me in my ear if I have to let Chris go, because I'm going to get yelled at. It. He has his own show.
Well,
to
Chris
go.
Can okay, leave when he wants him. To leave. He's bigger than you, number one.
That's true, too. All right, RG3, go.
No, Greeny, what I'll say is this. For Russell Wilson, I heard Jeremy say that he showed up out of shape in year one. My understanding was he didn't show up out of shape. He showed up heavier because he was trying to become more of a pocket passer, which is what Nathaniel Hackett wanted from him. But I'll say this. This isn't about Russell Wilson's production last year. You know how many teams in the NFL wish they could have a guy that threw 26 touchdowns to 8 interceptions? They're all searching for that guy right now. This is more about Sean Payton not wanting Russell Wilson to the detriment of the Denver Broncos. They're negative $16 million over the cap. Over the cap. What are they going to do? If they draft a quarterback, is that going to be the best situation for that guy to have weapons around him? No, it's not. So I don't think that Greeny is making excuses for Russell Wilson. I think the bottom line is when you bring in a quarterback of that caliber and you cater it to him, you have to fully cater it to him. Not put him in an offense with a first-time head coach, a first-time play caller, a first-time GM, and a young team, and expect him to make chicken out of chicken. That's the bottom line. So that's not.
We're going to find out.
Wilson. It's the truth of his situation.
Go ahead.
I'm to not your point, RG, we're going to find out how many teams really want him
now. Go.
Russell Wilson will be on the open market, and to your point, a lot of teams would want that. We're going to find out really how many teams want him.
Go, Chris.
No, what I was going to say is it's not just about having Russell Wilson in 2024. It's the guaranteed money in 2025 if you kept him on the roster through the fifth day of the league year. So do you want to pay him $40 million this year and commit $40 million next year? Sean Payton said no dice. And I don't blame him based on the two-year sample size we got in Denver. Denver made the right decision.
That's fine. But here's my question to you. All right, for all the hard time the Jets have received about everything that happened with Aaron Rodgers, I think they did it right. He just got hurt. They brought him in. They put him in they did everything they could to put him in a position to succeed. They built everything around him. He got hurt, and obviously we all saw that you know, it went about as badly as something could go because he got hurt. The Broncos gave up infinitely more for Russell Wilson than the Jets gave up for Aaron Rodgers, and yet they were willing to give up on that immediately, immediately.
Should I ask you a question? How much did the Cleveland Browns give up for Deshaun Watson? Their season didn't go off the rails the way the Jets' season did, and they started, four different quarterbacks?
Yeah.
And won games with all of them?
Right.
So, I mean, again, the quarterback is such an important position, not just from the production standpoint, but from the leadership and culture that they help to set within an organization. That's what makes the deal with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets so bad, and that's what makes the Denver Broncos deal with Russell Wilson so bad.
Well, I get that part of it, but what I'm trying to say is if you brought in Russell Wilson and then said, ooh, actually, from a culture perspective, this might not turn out to be the move that we thought it was, then shame on you. I mean, the people in Seattle have been telling you that for 15 years, or however long it's been since he came into the league. He was who he was. He is who he is. If you don't like him, you don't like him. That's fine. I don't mean you personally. There are a lot of people who don't like him. That's fine. But this was certainly not a surprise. Fowler, go.
If he has the right coach for him that can maximize his skill set and believes in him, he can be fine. He's had two coaches that were just simply wrong for him. Nathaniel Hackett had a poor plan for him. Sean Payton didn't want him. So now this is a chance for somebody to bring him in who can maximize his skill set and figure it out.
So who is that?
That has the plan. I think Vegas is the best spot for him.
Please tell me who that's going to be.
Booger, go.
They're not involved in these dominoes. You're not hearing about Vegas with Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield or even Justin Fields that much. They've been quiet. Mm-hmm. So they got a chance to get him for a really low salary under the Vegas lights.
Booger, go. Who do you like? What makes sense to you?
Well, Pittsburgh makes sense, again, because they have told Kenny Pickett they're going to bring in competition. At this point, as Chris talked about, from a value proposition standpoint, it makes sense to bring Russell Wilson in and compete. If you're what RG3 thinks you are, then go beat Kenny Pickett out. Or guess what? If Justin Fields goes to Atlanta, go to Atlanta, compete with the young guy. At some point, if you are this guy with the touchdown interception ratio and you need a coach, then go compete and win the job, because you aren't to a point where I'm going to hand you the keys to my organization anymore.
So last word from Canty, because I'm going to lose you. Everyone else stays.
Yeah.
You got to go back on radio. Final word.
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson's acquisition, whatever team he goes to, it's an and. It's not an either. Nobody is looking at Russell Wilson and saying, come save us. People are saying, well, we missed out on these other quarterbacks. We can go with Russell Wilson. But there will be somebody in the quarterback room at least pushing Russell Wilson for that starting quarterback job.
All right, I'm going to write a little note here to Evan and Michelle saying, it's Greeny's fault that you stayed longer than you were supposed to. So if you missed an extra segment on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, that one is on me. My apologies. In the meantime, we'll continue here. There's more quarterback conversations to be had. Is it suddenly a bear market for Justin Fields, the one big domino that's going to have to fall before he gets traded out of Chicago? And this one's not easy. Plus, decisions in New York. Huge day. Saquon Barkley. Could it wind up being the best thing that ever happened to him? We'll dive into all of it on a spirited Tuesday morning. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and I just want everyone to see what it is you're missing during commercial breaks. Robert, who is that we have there?
Yeah, this is my dog, an Australian Shepherd, Benny Boy. He's 7 years old, and he just hangs out with me all day while I do these TV hits. So this is
and this is live.
He's the best dog, man.
I thought we were going to be showing the clip of him. This is Benny, like, because he could right now, you never know. This could get dangerous. I mean, if Benny loses, he knows that. He's got the presence of mind in the moment. I tell you what, I don't know.
Jamming it up.
Yeah, Benny's
camera
very
ready,
friendly,
man.
Huh?
Hey, Boog, where's your dog at?
Well, Boog doesn't have a dog. I have two kids that take up all the responsibility that I need right now.
Booger, get your kids on TV for us. Why not? Let's bring those back. Let's have some fun. Everybody's family is welcome. In the meantime, as we continue, we got trouble in the Windy City with a capital T, which rhymes with B, which stands for the Bears are stuck. We'll explain why. Plus, if you think LeBron and the Lakers are one and done in the playoffs this year, think again. We're going to show you why they're a lot more dangerous than they're purported to be as we continue. Oh, yes, it's dog day. Get up on ESPN. Get it.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up. Bottom of the hour, the future of Justin Fields, one of the big questions in the NFL. No decision has officially been made, but the Bears are expected to trade Fields and then take Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. Yesterday, Shefty was on McAfee and pointed out what we've been seeing here. The trade market for Fields has not been what we expected.
I don't think the market for him right now is as robust as the Bears and he had thought. I'll be curious to see if they can get a deal done in place by next Monday, or they have to wait for some of these other quarterback moves to shake out before they can find a home for Justin Fields.
Okay, so Booger is with us here. We talked about this a little bit an hour ago. So, Boog, I said earlier, I think on these kind of things, you got to first guess it. I'm going to plant my flag. I'm going to tell you what I think. If I turn out to be wrong, it certainly won't be the first time. Everyone is missing the boat on this opportunity here. I think they're trying to wait the Bears out because they think they have the Bears over a barrel. They have all these other creative ideas. They are missing the obvious answer. If you're Pittsburgh right now and you could get Justin Fields for a second or, God help us, a third round pick, you do it immediately. And you develop him and you've got a quarterback for a decade who has a skill set that is obviously transferable, and you develop the stuff that he doesn't immediately do well. He'll be on by far the best and best coach team he's ever been on in his life. And I think Justin Fields will wind up making that look like one of the best trades that we've seen in the NFL in a long time. That's what I think. Booger, what do you think?
Well, Greeny, I think that could be a possibility. Like the negotiations that are happening behind the scenes with X-Team and the Bears, because they know right now that the Bears, more than likely, it seems that the arrows are pointing toward drafting Caleb Williams number one. And if that's the case, there really is no use for Justin Fields. So why would I pay a higher draft pick or a higher pick than I want to for Justin Fields? So there's a bit of a cat and mouse game going on right now. I'm going to wait it out and wait it out and wait it out. Or, Greeny, I'll just add this to it. It could be that teams are saying, okay, Justin Fields is so good that you would rather get rid of him after seeing him for 3 years and go dance with someone who we think is going to be really good in Caleb Williams. But let's face it, we don't know. Like, this draft could be a crapshoot, and all the guys that we think are going to be good could not be good. And so the Bears are willing to give up on a guy they've seen for 3 years to go after somebody that they haven't had in their building at all. And other teams are saying, wait a minute, if you don't want him, then why should we give you a boatload of picks to get him? Let's wait on you to either cut him or give him away for cheap. So it's one of those two scenarios, Greeny, that are going on. But it seems to be that the Chicago Bears have fell out of love with Justin Fields. And I think that speaks volumes around the National Football League, because they know what he is. And he was a guy who is dynamic with the ball in his hands. He was like fifth or sixth in the league in rushing. He's improved as a passer, but he's nowhere near where he needs to be. And after seeing all that for 3 years, the Chicago Bears said, we don't want that. We want to move on. And I think the rest of the league is like, okay, if you don't want him, then maybe we should take pause on trying to give you a boatload of picks to get him.
I get it. And what you're saying makes sense. The only thing I'll say is that to me, the Bears' quarterback decision-making and development, that should be worn as a badge of honor that Justin Fields has come out of it with a career. I mean, they've destroyed far better prospects than he ever was, and now here he is with a chance because he has persevered and he's handled it, I think, with great maturity and professionalism throughout. What is he looking at? What are they looking at right now, Jeremy Fowler?
Well, they're just trying to get a good market and multiple teams involved.
That's what they need. They need two teams.
They need two teams. Teams are slow playing it. The feeling around the league is that Justin Fields will be worth a day two pick, either a second or third round pick. So immense talent. You know, I was looking at some of the numbers here. Teams still have their concerns about his pocket passing game, ranked near the bottom in a lot of categories, completion percentage. First 37 starts, only eclipsed 225 yards six times. So a team has to use him with the running game, use him creatively, and develop him as a passer. If you're Atlanta and you feel like you're one player away, do you veer more toward maybe a surer bet like a Kirk Cousins?
RG3.
That's what teams are weighing right now.
RG3, talk to me.
Yeah, no, I actually enjoyed listening to both Jeremy and Booger there. You know, Booger's perspective is really right on point, and I agree. Teams are going to slow play this, and the closer you get to the draft, the less compensation you're going to get for Justin Fields. But I think the Bears are simply afraid to pass on Caleb Williams because they missed out on Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's the wrong way to look at this. Right now, the Bears only have five picks in the NFL draft, but they've got 13 holes on their roster. So the math ain't mathing. They got to figure out a way to get more picks so that they can build around a guy. And if you draft Caleb Williams number one, which he's worthy of the number one pick, don't get me wrong, he's worthy of it. But if you draft him number one overall and you can't win this year, Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus are going to get fired anyway. They're not going to be able to bring in a rookie quarterback and then get grace for another 3 or 4 years. So if that's the thought process around drafting him number one overall, you're just drafting him for another GM and you're just drafting him for another head coach. They need to do what they have to do to win this year. And to me, that's building around Justin Fields and getting more picks to put more weapons around him.
All right. We'll leave that there for the moment. This obviously, it's going to either play itself out in the next few days or it might take a very long time. Much more football as we go, but let me get Legler in here. It's a brand new feature. It's called Legler for Three because we all know he can knock down the three with absolutely anyone in history. So here we go. Three big questions. Let's start with the Bucks beating the Clippers last night. They've won six straight. They did it without Giannis last night. Where are the Bucks right now as far as being a legitimate threat to Boston in the East?
Closing the gap, and clearly they will end up being the number one threat to the Boston Celtics because of the injuries with the Knicks. I think the Cavs, there's a lot of uncertainty there. Can they really make that leap? And the Miami Heat are just still lurking beneath the surface. So it comes down to Milwaukee and Boston in the Eastern Conference. They're playing harder, Greeny. That's the bottom line. They're playing harder, and I think Damian Lillard looks a little bit more comfortable than he has to this point in the season.
I'm not in any way trying to diminish what the Celtics have done or are doing. They're a magnificent team. They're having one of the best regular seasons we've seen in quite some time. But when you get to a seven-game series in May, do you trust the team that has Giannis and Dame on it, or the team that right now that has had, at least from historical perspective, Tatum and Brown on it?
I think right now I trust the team that's got more weapons on both ends, and that's Boston. At that starting five, what they can put on the floor with those five players, the number of threats they have offensively, and the way that all five of those guys impact the game on the other end of the floor, they've got depth. I even think Mazzola's been through this now one time, right? Last year, that was a tough situation for him to inherit a team right before the season that was expecting to win a championship. He was called into question in the playoffs with some decision-making. I think he's past that point. I trust him now. So ultimately, it just comes down to the Celtics and the firepower that they have. That's what I trust.
That's fair. It's a day of planting my flag for me. I'm planting my flag in Milwaukee. I'm telling you they're going to wind up being a real threat to Boston in the playoffs. All right, next, we saw the Lakers beat the Thunder last night. All of a sudden, LeBron and the Lakers, they had a very bad January. They've gotten hot the last, call it, 4 or 5 weeks. What does that look like as we go forward?
Well, listen, when Anthony Davis is having this kind of an impact consistently, and it seems to be always the question mark with the Lakers, when he's playing like this physically dominant, the Lakers absolutely are a team that you cannot turn your back on. You've got to pay attention to them, but it's going to be a tough road for them. I don't see them getting out of the play-in in the regular season. You're going to have to make up a lot of ground on some good teams to do that. I don't see that happening for the Lakers, but I do see them being a legitimate threat to one of those top two seeds if it ends up being Minnesota and Oklahoma City. I don't think they threaten Denver, But Minnesota, Oklahoma City, if you get the Lakers in a first-round series and they've escaped the play-in, a lot of people at that point would put their money on the Lakers to win those series. Yeah. I don't know that I would. I don't have to make that decision yet. I'll see what it looks like at the time. But I'm just saying that's where a lot of people would be going if the Lakers are still alive at that point.
Well, look, I mean, it goes back to who you trust. And in that situation, I definitely trust LeBron more than anyone else on the floor. And I want to show you one more thing. So Victor Wembanyama was named the Rookie of the Month in February in the Western Conference because, of course, you have to have two Rookies of the Month every month. Who is he the best rookie since?
Yeah, look, I'm putting a lot of the stock in this on what happens on the defensive end of the floor. But when you look at the total impact on both ends, I think you got to go back to Tim Duncan. Really, that's 97-98 season. And look, let's be clear about this. Tim Duncan, his rookie year, the Spurs won 36 more games than they did the previous year. They won 56 games. Now, he was 21 years old, right? He played in college for 4 years, so it was a little bit different. Victor Wembanyama's team's won 13 games, so you have to put that into consideration. But I'm just talking about the overall impact on both ends of the floor. I'm going with Duncan because, listen, Green, listen to this number Hembo gave me. Do you know when Victor Wembanyama's on the court, this is a 13-win team, when he's on the court for the Spurs, that's the sixth-rated defensive team in the league.
Huh.
When he's off the floor, they're dead last. That is the impact that Victor Wembanyama has had on that end.
For the purposes of context, the year that Tim Duncan came in as a rookie, David Robinson had been hurt.
Correct.
The year before. That's why they were so
yes.
bad. They didn't just get the rookie Duncan, but they get Robinson back, and they win a championship in the second year, or Duncan's second year in that strike-shortened or whatever shortened season that it was. The point is, Wembanyama, I've been riding this bandwagon because he's become the best show in the sport by far. And because the team is so bad, I don't know that people are paying as much attention to it as they should. He is as advertised.
He really is. And, you know, I'm trying to think about comparisons and ceilings. And someone asked me about a ceiling. I said, that, well, by definition, you're saying that there's a certain, you know, level that he cannot break through. I don't think I put a ceiling on Victor Wembanyama. I mean, if I'm looking for comparisons, think about a player that could have the scoring dominance of Joel Embiid, right? The defensive impact and presence of a Giannis Antetokounmpo and the entertainment value of a Steph Curry. That's what we're talking about, potentially all in one body. So I don't think there is a ceiling. Every night that I watch Victor Wembanyama play, he does two or three things in that game that I think he's the only player in the NBA that can make those specific plays. That's how eye-popping this guy is. He's on a bad team right now that people aren't paying attention to. It's going to take, I think, a couple years for the Spurs to be relevant in the Western Conference. But he has become now a runaway winner of Rookie of the Year. Chet Holmgren was better early. They were sort of even in the middle of the year. Over the last 2 months, Victor Wembanyama, I think, has absolutely seized the award. He's going to run away with it.
I think he both literally and figuratively blocked Chet Holmgren's effort at that the other night. Now, Wembanyama, people aren't paying enough attention. He's been sensational. I have a question for you here. As we continue, we will get back to football. You got to hear the guy. Stephen A. just went nuts yesterday. Between Stephen A. and Shannon, they were talking about the Cowboys culture issue. And it went off the rails yesterday. You need to see and hear this coming up next, and you will. Plus, here we go. Hembo is ready for you today. You ready?
Yeah.
Talking about Wembanyama. Who averaged the most blocks in an NBA Rookie of the Year season? Bearing in mind, blocks have only been an official stat since 1973. So no Bill Russell, no Kareem, none of those. Who averaged the most blocks in winning Rookie of the Year? The answer is next.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we are back, and I must say, I see a lot of confidence in the face of Tim Legler.
I do. I feel pretty good about this.
You feel more confident than what?
Than the question that in which I was the answer.
That's right. The last time Legler was here,
dumbfounded me. I was the answer. I had no idea.
We asked a question to which the answer was Tim Legler, and he got it wrong. But anyway, who averaged the most blocks in an NBA Rookie of the Year season? And again, that was not an official stat when Bill Russell or Kareem or Wilt Chamberlain were rookies.
Got some great candidates. I thought about Hakeem. I thought about Sean Bradley. I thought about Mark Eaton. But I actually think it's a player that wore a uniform that I wore at one point. I'm going to say Manute Bol.
Okay, I want to make sure you're reading the question. An NBA Rookie of the Year season.
Oh, I thought it was NBA Rookie season.
It's a season in which they were the Rookie of the Year.
Then I'm going to go Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hakeem Olajuwon is not right, but it's a much better guess
than
the other one was. By the way, he wasn't the Rookie of the Year either. Hakeem Olajuwon came into the league the same year as Michael Jordan. But David Robinson was the Rookie of the Year and did outdo Shaq and Duncan.
You know what it is? I've got to realize that Hembo always puts stuff in the question that I don't. Like last time I missed it because it said with a certain number of attempts. That's why I didn't know it was me.
You know,
now he puts the ROY in there. I was just thinking rookie.
When you download an app,
I'll be ready next time.
You read the terms and conditions?
Not often. You know, I return a lot of stuff.
That's probably the way
I make a lot of returns.
Okay. All right. Back to the football we go. A Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, is downplaying questions about his team's culture and whether or not that's a problem. You have to hear the spirited debate that led to on First Take yesterday. Go.
To say the Cowboys don't have a winning culture is ridiculous, Stephen A. They absolutely have
You're
a winning
ridiculous
culture.
For saying that.
You're ridiculous. You're utterly ridiculous. That
shocking that you two agree. They've won 12 games 3 years in a row, guys. They absolutely have a winning culture. They have a winning – they don't have a championship culture. No one's saying that.
What the hell is a winning culture? That's the point of winning. What are you talking about?
No, there's not.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so to say the least, Stephen A. and Shannon were fired up. And Booger, I haven't talked to you in far too long. This has become sort of a popular topic here. Is the defense's inability to stop the run a function of the fact that, you know, Jerry Jones does press conferences after every game? I mean, that's basically what the conversation has boiled down to. Mr. McFarland, what is your take?
Well, I kind of agree with Dan Orlovsky, and I really hate to say that because, you know, typically when he comes up with points, I try my best to go the opposite way. But he's right here. Like, the Cowboys do have a winning culture. They've won 12 games 3 years in a row, and they've won a lot of football games. But let's look at how and why they've lost, because in the biggest moments in the postseason, their quarterback hasn't quite played to the level that he needs to, and their defense hasn't been able to stop the run. That's not culture. That's just players who aren't performing at the level they need to be when the game and the moment is at its biggest. And I think that's the biggest issue for Dallas. Defensively, they've got to get better defensive tackles. Are they going to be in on Christian Wilkins if and when they make the decision to redo Dak Prescott's contract to loosen up some cap room? So we'll figure out what they're going to do from a defensive standpoint, but they got to get better defensive tackle, and they got to get their quarterback in the biggest moments to play at his optimal level. Then I don't think it's much about culture as it is about players performing at the opportune time, Greeny.
So let's just point out what just happened here. It's one of my favorite things about getting to know football players. I just asked Booger what's wrong with the Cowboys, and he led with the defensive tackles. That's a guy. That's my guy, right? RG3 is going to say it's the quarterback, and Booger's going to say it's the defensive tackles, and that's the way football players think. That said, I've got the solution. I've got the cure for what ails them, Robert, And I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to have my man Jeremy Fowler make it happen. Today at 4 o'clock Eastern time, Saquon Barkley will officially no longer be a New York football giant. And by 4:01, Jerry and Stephen Jones should be on the phone with him saying, get Saquon to Dallas. He is what that offense isn't. He can run it between the tackles. He can still make explosive plays. He can catch it out of the backfield. Dak Prescott obviously played well last year. He wasn't the problem. But that team didn't run the ball nearly the way they wanted to, and Saquon is the guy to do it. RG3, what do you think of that?
No, I absolutely love it. I will say this, that the Cowboys have a winning culture. They just win in all the wrong areas. But when you specifically talk about Saquon Barkley, he's a three-down back that isn't just flash, right? He brings to the table what Jerry Jones wants, because over the last three eliminations for the Cowboys, they've been outrushed by 149 yards. So not only have they not been running the football, but they haven't been able to stop the run either. So with Saquon Barkley, I think of all the backs that are going to be free agents, he gives the Cowboys the best opportunity to go and win a Super Bowl. They get closer with Saquon than they do with any other running back. But to go back to that question about the winning culture, the Cowboys are a money machine, Greeny. That's what Jerry Jones wants. He wants that star and the America's team, and their fans are everywhere. But they don't win when it matters. Yeah, they've won 12 games in three consecutive years. Yes, they pump out more money than any other team in the NFL, but they go into hibernation when it comes January time and it's time to win games that actually matter. I don't think that's more so a losing culture problem. I think it's an identity problem. If I asked you what's the identity of the Cowboys, you wouldn't tell me, oh, they win when it matters. Their identity is coming up short. No one watches the Cowboys play because they want to see them win. They watch the Cowboys play because they want to see them get pie on their face. And unlike the great Floyd Mayweather, who everyone watched because they wanted to see him lose, the Cowboys just seem to never win when it counts.
I think that's fair. So we're sort of a confluence of a bunch of different thoughts here. I like it. I think Saquon addresses that too. I mean, Jeremy Fowler, there's nothing that a team that needs to, they get punched in the face a little bit. The defense isn't playing well. Give the ball to Saquon and let him make some plays. What's going to happen with him today?
Well, he's probably not going to be franchise tagged by the New York Giants. That $12 million would be a little steep. Small possibility, but I don't expect it. And then you're going to have several teams. I love the Dallas fit. They have so much money they have to spend on Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and all those guys. I don't think they're going to have the money. Look at a sneaky team like Baltimore. They've been looking around doing some legwork on some of these top backs. If the money falls to them a little bit, if Saquon's not as expensive as they thought, they might jump on that.
But as far as the Giants are concerned, they don't have to tag him. They can still do something with him, right?
Yeah.
But is the expectation that he wants out of there?
That's my sense. I think he'd be open to talking to him. I mean, look, the money always talks. But that relationship appears to have run its course. Saquon has touched the ball nearly 2,700 times dating back to college. Like, he wouldn't mind a fresh start where he's used in a little bit of different ways, can go to a contender, maybe win finally.
Booger, I got 15 seconds. Saquon to the Cowboys. You in or out?
I'm in on it. I'm in on Saquon to the Cowboys. I'm in on Saquon to Baltimore. I want to see Saquon Barkley, who I think Greeny is one of the top 20 dynamic talents in this league. I want to see him play meaningful games in the postseason. So put him with a good team.
Me too. All right, let's hope that it works out that way. Hey, our final SEC Big 12 Super Tuesday doubleheader on ESPN. We'll start with Florida taking on number 16 Alabama. That's 7 Eastern tonight, followed by Kansas State and Kansas. Good hoops tonight here on ESPN. Meanwhile, First Take coming up next. They're talking hoops. Are the Lakers a legit threat to win the West? Plus, who is the most to blame for Russell Wilson's impending release? First Take, Stephen A., Shannon, J.J. Redick, RG3, and more. Top of the hour.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All All right, great lineup for Saturday. Big City Greens is back for the NHL matchup. Penguins and Bruins. We got Duke, Carolina. We got Suns and Celtics and UFC 299 in Miami. It's going to be awesome. All right, before we go, Fowler has a couple of pieces of news.
Yeah, trying to work on a few things here. CJ Uzomah, Jets tight end, is expected to be released. That will save about $5-plus million on their salary cap. Also, on the franchise tag front, Panthers do plan to franchise tag Brian Burns, their star defensive end.
Busy day of NFL news. Keep it tuned here all day long for much more. First Take starts now.